Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on Friday the 22nd of July. We have Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Tijani Benjema, Alex Gakuru, Eric Brunner-Williams, John Rahman Khan, Rafik Damak, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Elaine Pries, Avery Doria, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Carla Valente, Wendy Crawford, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Dev Anand Tiluksing has just joined us as well. Apologies noted today from Andrew Mack, Tony Harris, Sintra Suknanan, and Carlos Aguirre. If I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Rafik and Carlton.
Thank you, Gisela. Thank you, everybody, for joining today's call. So at the beginning, if you have any update in your SOI or DOI, please do it and at least send it to Glenn. For the agenda, we are still continuing with two same items. And we will start first with Eden. She will speak about the in-kind service, and then we will go and move for the item about funding models and funds, which will be led by Avery. And we have third item about admin items update, and the fourth one about requests for webinar. So, is Elaine on the call?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I am. So the floor is over. You can go ahead, and so we hopefully we can finish with this item. So please go ahead.
Thank you. The only thing new that's happened since the last time we spoke was there was an email post to the list from Fabian saying that there's another open source registry software package available that's being run by a couple of African countries. And so he put up a link for information to that. That's the only new development. There hasn't been any other conversation. So I don't have anything else to report. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine. I just have a question, I think, that maybe was asked before. I think all these open source tools are more used by CCTA, the operator, and not all of them are ICANN compliant. So is it really possible to use them, or we need to check if other maybe vendors who are working with other GTLT registries?
Well, I know that a couple of them for sure have been developing all of the necessary tools so that they will meet the new GTLD requirements. But, you know, there are so many new technical requirements like the trademark clearinghouse that requires some new EPP extensions so the registry can talk to the trademark clearinghouse. There's also a searchable whois. Everybody has to implement DNSSEC, and you have to be able to support IPv6 according to the ICANN rules. As I said last week, I'm not aware of any single registry operator that has already implemented all of these rules and is operating. Maybe like .co, the Columbia Registry, they're probably the one that has publicized that they have, you know, a trademark clearinghouse. But, of course, not with the ICANN-appointed trademark clearinghouse operators because they haven't been appointed yet. So anybody that's going to contract for registry services has to check, does this registry operator actually have the tools needed to pass ICANN's technical evaluation, which is probably at least 18 months from today. So there's plenty of time for all of these operators to continue to develop the tools, and test them and possibly implement them on their current TLDs that they're running. But as far as I know, nobody's done that completely to this point. So the warning there is you don't really have to do this check themselves.
Yeah, so if I understood you correctly, so nobody is ready for the requirements. And then even so, it's not really, no, it's a barrier for, it's not a barrier for the applicant, because everybody is not ready for the requirements. So I'm not sure to have such support now, but maybe you need to ask about that later.
Well, my response is everyone's in the same boat. Like, the needy applicant isn't disadvantaged because they might not want to spend the same amount of money as the regular applicant. Everybody has to do that same due diligence and check and make sure that the person they're working with or the operator they're working with can do what is required from ICANN. And not only does that applicant have to make that determination, but ICANN makes that determination at the end of the application process when they do a technical evaluation. And then they do a pre-delegation test also. So not only do they look at your documentation, but they actually try to connect to your servers and make sure that you're responding the way you're supposed to. So there are all sorts of rules built into it to make sure that we will work as opposed to the previous organization.
Thank you, Elaine. We have you in the queue. Sherilyn, please go ahead.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Rafiq, Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. I think what's important is that we just ensure in our text that it is clear that any such services, when they are matched to our needy applicants, are of a suitably high and appropriate quality to meet the ICANN criteria and requirements. I don't think we need to worry about the fact that it's here and now or in 12 months' time, but simply that you know, whatever is the benchmark is able to be met by who we suggest the matching of such services is provided by. So I don't think we need to get too concerned on the abilities or lack thereof right now, but rather that we ensure that there is no disadvantage to a GTLD applicant who goes through a JIS mechanism as opposed to a off-the-street-with-a-bag-of-money mechanism. Thank you.
Thank you, Shane.
I guess I was going to say a lot of what Cheryl just said. Our only requirement is to make sure that we don't put our only concern, I think, is to make sure we don't put a requirement there which invalidates all of the current potential suppliers because they don't meet the requirements, the full requirements and the full suite of requirements today. We need to put the caveats in, and we want to make sure that this is one of the options that is considered and investigated and fleshed out. But I don't think we're in a position to do the certification, so I don't think we need to worry about that level of detail other than to point out that it's an issue. But it's not a showstopper issue for the reasons that have been outlined. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. I think that Elaine wanted to reply. Elaine?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Cheryl, maybe to clarify a little further. I mean, we can say here are all of the known registry operators that have indicated they are able to meet ICANN's requirements, but beyond that, we can't really say, well, we recommend this one or that one.
Absolutely. I think that would be a huge error to go down that pathway.
Okay. I have another question. So, as in case that we spoke about registries, so But I guess that from the community or from needy applicant, maybe he will apply vertical integration, and then he will need some registrar services. So maybe do you think that we may add this as in client servers, or it's not really necessary?
Rafiq, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time understanding what you're saying, but I think you asked me about vertical integration.
Okay. You know, maybe community-based or those maybe applicants in developing countries, they have the problem. They have registrar in this area, and they with vertical integration, relaxation, they may have a registrar so they can send directly their domain name. And then maybe they need some registrar service. So do you think that it's necessary to add in-kind service for registrar service?
Again, I'm sorry, I can't tell if you're asking me about vertical integration or maybe you could write it in the Adobe window because I just can't hear very clearly. While you're writing that, I think I'll try to answer. Vertical integration has already been determined.
It's not about vertical integration per se. I try to explain that the vertical integration needy applicant may need to have a registrar service that they to implement themselves the registrar service. So can we add registrar services or assistance or support as in-kind support? So, because until now we have only registry service outsourced or assistance.
Okay, yeah, I understand. Definitely, any registry operator that wants to take advantage of vertical integration and offer a registrar would definitely benefit from having some knowledge or registrar package. And there are, registrars that sell their technology basically off the shelf where you can just download a registrar toolkit, and then you have a registrar that can be operational. It's not a huge project to undertake. So yeah, I think we should add that to the list of benefits that needy applicant might need.
Thank you, Elena. Any further comments or question? Okay, so hopefully with the notes taken and then maybe you will update the wiki page, and then as soon as possible we will have last call about this part. Thank you, Ilan. We can move to the next item about funding models. Avery, are you here?
Yeah, I guess I am. Okay. Similar to Elaine, and I haven't seen much of any comment since the last time. I did do some work on the wiki in terms of taking the space that was called final report, moving all of the candidate text, which was in-kind services, the panel selection, and gaming. Let me just give you all the... let's see.
Maybe just put the link in the
key. So basically, within final report, there's two spaces, candidate text and draft final report. At the moment, draft final report is just the MR2 plus whatever had been done to it since MR2's release. I haven't touched it. I did all these as copies, with the exception of Elaine's stuff, since Elaine had put her text directly in that final report space. I basically moved that into a page of its own under candidate text. But for all the other stuff that had been in the subgroups, I moved it into the candidate text. So while you all were doing the, is this text acceptable to move into the draft, it was all in one place. I suggest anyone else that has candidate text they want to recommend, put it in there so everybody can find it easily. And then I'll move it, or others in the editing team, once that is acceptable, we'll move that into the draft final doc. So the next step on the candidate text, I guess, is for people to continue reading, talking, and whatever, but I haven't seen anything in the last week. And the next thing is to start massaging and editing MR2 Plus into a final report. We've talked about it a little among the various folks in the editing team led by Evan, and, that's about all I got to say.
Thank you, Avery. Just for clarification, if someone wants to see the last version of the report with the different ads, he can find that in the candidate text.
The last version of the MR2 that you sent out?
Mm-mm.
I have no idea where that pure one is. What I took was under relevant documents, there was Jazz version 3 working draft, and I copied that into draft final report.
That's very cute.
I don't think that was a question that he was asking, though.
Oh, sorry that I misunderstood. And I don't know what question is being asked.
I speak.
Okay, we have Tijani in the queue. Tijani, please go ahead.
Thank you. Avery, what you copied is exactly the second milestone report.
Okay. I copied the page called Jazz Version 3 Working Draft.
Yes.
I paid absolutely no attention to what was actually in it, but I assumed that it was MR2 Plus. If it's just MR2, apologies for misspeaking.
Yeah.
In which case it indicates nothing has been done yet to take MR2 to the final report, other than moving it into a file called Draft Final Report. The next step is, as I said, to start massaging it into something new. None of that has been done yet, as far as I know. I think I'm the one holding the pen at the moment, but as I say, Evan is still the token holder for drafting team. I've done nothing without his by your leave. Well, actually, no, I did it first and then said, is this okay?
Works well.
Okay, so that's all I've got. So it's up to you guys now. I'll start working on the draft final report, sort of, making sure that it's final reportish, and then at some point, I guess, we'll pass it over once we've got the text in it, sort of in the place that we're happy. Then I guess we'll be asking for staff help at some point to turn it into the proper thing with all the boilerplates and appendices and proper page numbers and formatting and all that good stuff, which I don't think we'll be doing. Also, to let people know that the first 2 weeks of August, and the drafting team knows, first 2 weeks of August, I'm taking my first formal vacation in 15 years. And while I bet I'll be online doing something, I'm not promising.
Thank you, Avery. Okay. Any comments? So, you've given up the drafting scheme and what was done in the wiki, but
I can't understand you. I really, it's that underwater problem again, or maybe it's my mic, but I really can't understand you.
Okay, let me speak more loud. So, you gave an update about the wiki and the drafting scheme, but what about the funding model and funds and supported aspects?
As I said, there's been no discussion on the content, no change in the content since our last meeting. I'm just waiting on the co-chairs of this group to say it's time to start phasing that stuff into the draft final report, but I have made no changes on my own nor received any comments or requests for change that I am aware of. I see Tijani has his hand up, though.
Okay, yeah. Tijani, please go ahead. I think Tijani is not muted yet. Tijani?
Do you hear me?
Now we do.
We do now.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So that's right. There was no discussion on the substance during the last week, the last few days. And that's why I didn't send anything about the question that I raised last call. I think that it is time now to address all the substantive points if we want Avery to go ahead with drafting. If we don't give her alternatives when there is a problem, she would not be able to draft. So she produced text LN2, and both texts for me are acceptable. So there are other points that need to be discussed, and I think that it is time to discuss them because we will be late after that. Thank you.
Okay, for the point, you mean the point that's related to the items read by Avery and Elen, which need to be addressed?
If I can address it?
Yes, Avery. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, if I understood Tijani correctly, and please forgive me if I misspeak, he was basically saying that there are other issues outside the ones that Elaine and I have discussed. For example, it may pertain to the one he brought up about the adequacy of the financial the financial guidelines that we're giving. And we talked about it a little last time, and to basically determine whether what the report has now is adequate for an evaluation panel. So, for example, in things I've written, I said there is an evaluation panel, and they get guidelines from what we've produced. And I guess if I understand Tijani correctly, he's questioning the adequacy of those guidelines. I have to go back and reread them, but I confess that I'm not a financial person, so, you know, while I can read a budget and stuff, there's not a lot I can add. So I guess that is one question that I think needs to be addressed. And perhaps that's something where staff can help us because, as I understand it, and I was in my hiatus with the group while the group was deciding on the financial criteria, you all, by and large, had rough consensus that these were adequate guidelines. And so it sounds like perhaps it's time to make sure, you know, by asking staff to look at them and starting a dialogue, to make sure that you've really got adequate guidelines. I think this is a key element that came out partially in some of the stuff, you know, that Elaine's talking about. It's certainly, you know, fundamental to the stuff that I've contributed on in terms of getting the fee reduction. We always say JAS qualified. One of the key milestones that we have from the board and from our chartering masters is to make sure that we've got workable criteria. I personally don't know whether we do or not. I guess most people think we do. I get the impression Tijani feels we might not. And I think it may be time to sort of work with staff and others to make sure that what we've got is something they understand and can be, and maybe we can do, you know, a couple iterations of, we see what it means to be jazz qualified, but we need more detail on D. We need more detail on G. So perhaps, I don't know if that's what Tijani meant, but I'm jumping in and sort of saying that may be the kind of issue. Are we secure that we have given sufficient guideline for what it means to be jazz qualified? To sum up all my rambling into one sentence. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. We have Carlton, then Tijani with you. Carlton?
Just two small things. One, I'm fully supporting Avery's point here, but to go directly to Tijani, recall that Alan has, in the spirit of what we're trying to do there to fill out gaps, Alan has volunteered to put some additional content or wording in the area for funds qualification that might help Tijani. And finally, to reemphasize the point, any changes, additions, queries at this time, please make sure they have visibility on the candidate text page of the wiki. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlton, for the clarification. Jenny, please go ahead.
Thank you, yes. Avery, I wasn't asking you personally about this point. I was asking all the group to give their points. It is important now to clarify the position of each one of us so that you can go ahead with the drafting. This question of elements of evaluation is, Alan, for example, said last time that we are unable to give anything. And if we say that, that means that we say we are unable to fulfill our mission. Our mission given in our charter, our mission given by the board, because after the first milestone report, the board asked about exactly this point. So, I am not attached with my proposal at all, but I want to work with anyone who wants to find other things, to find objective elements. I don't say strict criteria or strict threshold. I don't speak about that, but at least objective criteria, objective elements that the evaluators will use to do the evaluation. That's the point. Thank you.
Okay, Anas, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I don't disagree that the more we can come up with, the better. But on the other hand, I think there's no shame in saying we simply do not have the breadth of experience in doing this kind of thing to put the right words to it, and ICANN should go out and find people who indeed have, and there's plenty of them around the world, and help flesh it out. Now, to the extent that we can do it within the time frame, fine. But I don't think the lack of that should stop us from putting in what we can put in. And yes, it's part of our mission, but if we can't do it, then we need to say so and be clear with what ICANN needs to do with external help to be able to do it properly. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Olivia in there. Olivia?
Thank you very much, Rafiq. Olivia here for the record. Just wanted to respond to Tijani's thing of saying, well, we need to have a specific criteria. I'm concerned about a criteria that is so specific that it involves the ticking of boxes and a system which therefore can be gamed in a way because an applicant satisfying those specific criteria which are going to be so well laid out, an applicant satisfying those will then be 100% legible for applicant support, when in fact all they would have done was to game and set themselves up specifically to be able to satisfy those criteria, and they're not needy at all. So unless you put criteria that is so clever so as to be able to weed out the purpose applicants that will be gaming the system, I think it's going to be very difficult. There needs to be some element of judgment from those people who will make the final selection. It cannot be a mechanical thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Rife. Hélène?
Thank you. I would like to agree also with what Oliver just said. Basically, my thinking on this is that we've put up the basic ideas, and we should allow staff to contact the appropriate parties that know how to determine whether or not someone meets specific criteria, and determine what those evaluation tests are beyond our recommendations. And an example of how this is already happening in the applicant guidebook is, if you look at the section that has the evaluation criteria, there's 50 questions, and at some point someone recommended that the registry operators should have some financial wherewithal. I didn't see any text from the community saying exactly what that meant, but if you look in the applicant guidebook, the staff has very much detailed what that is, and they've put up sample spreadsheets, what three different levels of expectations you should propose. So I think the staff has proven that they're good at filling out the details of what the community recommends as some guidelines.
Thank you, William. Okay. I guess there is some agreement that this stuff will help a lot in that matter. Okay. Any further comments? Okay. We still have 25 minutes on this call, and it looks that it's not... that maybe we are going to finish soon. Okay, so please, if you have any further comments or questions for this item, please do so. Okay. For the third item, so there is no objection to move to the third item. I guess that Carlton can give update on that matter. Carlton?
Okay. Well, thank you, Rafiq. Members would have seen on the list a question as to whether or not we should have some kind of communication event. In this case, the suggestion was a webinar that would help members of the community, other members of the community, to understand the final report and be in a better position to make some decisions, get some clarity on issues or suggestions, recommendations that might be involved in the report. And there was a bit of back and forth as to when would this, if we were to do this, first of all, secondly, when would this be appropriate? I thought it would be useful to put it to this group to see what the thinking is.
Kat, I'm sorry. When I was speaking in the third item, it was about admin items update, but I didn't think it was about the webinar. Anyway. We have Alan in the queue. Alan, please go ahead.
I'm addressing Carlton's question. I'm not sure what we're supposed to be talking about. The issue came up in the GNSO meeting yesterday in relation to the timing of when will the report be out and when does the GNSO have to approve it so that staff can finish implementation if necessary and get it out in time for the Dakar meeting, you know, within the publication deadline, which is early in October. And the real issue was that there was a concern that if there are questions to be raised and things that need to be understood, it would be useful to have a meeting with people from the working group and some explanatory information to make sure that people on the GNSO and their constituencies and stakeholder group aren't in a position where they don't understand something and therefore cannot approve it. So I think in terms of timing, it needs to be scheduled as soon as possible after we release the report as possible, which means we need to be preparing the content almost in parallel with the report so that it's information that people can get as they're doing their own consideration of deciding whether to approve or not approve the report from the GNSO position. So it's got to be done as soon as possible after it's done, after our report is ready, but it really does need to be addressing the report and not a preliminary version, because the information in the webinar is going to be part of the substance which will result in a go, no-go decision from the various stakeholder groups and constituencies. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. In fact, I sent the update to the mailing list. We have some discussion. So the problem that even if we finish at the end of August, the next GNSO meeting will be at the 8th of September, is not enough real time for all stakeholder groups and constituency to read, to discuss, and to approve the report. So that's why the idea of the webinar was raised during the GNSO council call. Alan, you want to comment to add something?
Yeah, just on the timing, there is a GNSO call scheduled, I believe, the day before the publication deadline for the October meeting. So technically, that might be a good place to do the approval. However, if staff and various other reasons feel that it's important that there be a gap between the two, perhaps for us to make adjustments or just to get the work done, then I suggest to the GNSO they may want to consider a special meeting, one subject meeting, to just do that approval perhaps a week prior to that.
There was that discussion about the special meeting. The first idea was to organize a special meeting in August, but the working group is still continuing working on the report, so we don't need really a special meeting, I think, in September. And that's why there was some discussion about possible dates.
It's clear the GNSO meeting at the beginning of September is too soon for us to have a report out which can be duly considered by the stakeholder groups and voted on at the beginning of September. The October meeting may be a little bit too late, which is why I suggested perhaps an interim one. But, we need to hear back from staff when's the last time the GNSO can approve and still get it published, to publish with whatever stuff we need. Thank you.
And so, in follow-up matter, maybe we need to discuss how to plan this webinar, and because I think it will be complicated to work and presentation for the webinar at the same time that we are trying to finish with the final report.
Remember, we are supposed to have additional staff support.
I think for this, maybe Carla can give an update of clarification. Carla?
Yes, Rafiq, this is Carla Valente. Thank you. We have on our call actually today Wendy. Wendy is going to be helping us with taking notes, but she'll be helping us with doing the issue tracking log. in a way that we can see all of the open items or things that we still need to discuss or not to discuss, where there's consensus or partial consensus. So we're going to need your help to validate that. We started to gather this data actually yesterday, and we hope to have something for next week. Also getting additional help for the drafting of the final report. I will have more on that for you next Tuesday. We have some people internally that are reviewing now the process flow that this group generated and can help in designing the process flow. So that's what I have so far.
Thank you, Carla. I hope that it's good clarification for our working members. Any final comments? Any question? I'm just the question of Harvey in the chat, the comment of Harvey in the chat about the interim meeting. Just for clarification, it was me, okay. I explained that maybe it's not really necessary at that time in the first week in August to have such meeting as we are still in the middle of our working. But so we, as Alan explained, we still have possibility for the GSO to have a special meeting in September and October to approve the final report in time. Okay, any further comments, any questions? Okay, I guess for this course we are going to finish earlier than usual. If there is any other business to speak, so otherwise I will adjourn this call for today.
Thank you, Rafik.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you.
Bye.
See you. Carlton?
Yes, Rafik.
Okay. So, as we agreed, so we can talk on Monday. Okay?
Can we speak? Yeah, I'll get you on Gmail on Monday.
Okay. Thank you, and have a nice weekend.
Yep, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay, bye-bye.